Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Good afternoon to you, Mads.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. How you doing?
I'm so good, thank you.
Lovely. Great to have you on the show. Thank you so, so much for joining us. We're talking about mental health and leadership. And in today's fast-paced environment, the mental well-being of employees has emerged as a critical component of organizational success. Now, good leaders must understand and address the intersection of leadership and mental health as they play a pivotal role in shaping the mental health landscape within their teams. Now, when I explore how leaders can address mental health issues effectively, including their own, and integrate mental health awareness into their leadership strategies. Thank you once again so much for joining us, Mads. Now, before we get into our discussion, please just do tell us about your background and the work you do.
So I began in just pastoral counseling, working for a local church in Durban, South Africa. And over the years, I realized that there was such a big need for a variety of resources. So I started investing tools for what I call self-care, community care, and pastoral care. And then more and more churches were leaning in for resources, more and more community leaders. And then I started to realize the power of the psychoeducation space. How do we invest in educating people around mental health? Because most understand the spectrum of resources and physical health, but not mental health. So, yeah, for the last 6 years, I've been running a ministry called Edify, just investing in resources across the country.
Lovely. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for letting us in what you do. Now, how do we define mental health, rather mental well-being, in the context of a high pressure leadership role?
Well, I think first of all, mental health is my ability to consistently contribute and perform despite external pressures. So things like flexibility and adaptability are crucial in any kind of work environment. As a leader, if I'm able to lead with clarity, resilience, authenticity, and be sustained in my secure identity despite external pressures, then I would say that would be a good definition of mental health in a high-pressured leadership space.
Lovely. Now, what is the leader's responsibility for the mental well-being of their team?
I think in terms of, first of all, just creating open lines of communication, that the topic of mental health is not ignored or shamed. I think that if leaders can model right up front that being able to speak about this place, the space of mental health, is an open discussion, it will do wonders for their team in terms of just giving spaces for them to be able to communicate without fear or shame.
And I think it's true that actually fear, shame are what follow, mental health issues. Now, how can leaders differentiate between a performance issue and a potential health issue in a team member?
Yeah. Well, performance will often be fundamentally around productivity, consistent effort. Is there a need for investment and skill development? Is a person just feeling disengaged or unmotivated? Or are they needing a higher level of accountability? That's more your performance issue stuff. But mental health issues is going to be more around where you see a change in behavior, a change in mood, a change in energy, a change in personality. So it's not just in a productivity space. It will be all round in those spaces, in the sense of, is this person not even, relating to them normally like they would do because there's even a personality change? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it actually does make sense. Now, what would the strategies be then you know, that a leader can utilize to promote open communication about mental health so that stigma is reduced really within the team?
Totally. It's a great question. I think to first of all, normalize conversations, to share healthy practices, to talk around things like stress, pressure, performance, self-care, things like modeling language, you know, speaking into the space where, you know, communicating around how are you doing from a productivity, how are you doing from a mental health, you know, growing self-awareness, speaking around EQ, being very clear around safe communication channels. You know, if a person is struggling and there's shame, who are the people that people can turn to if they're needing to have a safe conversation? And then training up various leaders and accountability structures so that if there is, you know, I mean, I guess the more there is investment in just relationship outside of performance, the easier it is for open channels of communication.
And I think that is true. I buy into that one. Now, the expectations of high performance generally from leaders. So how can the leader then balance that, you know, the high performance expectation with the need to prevent burnout and support the mental well-being of the team? And I think it's an issue these days.
Yeah. Well, think about it. You know, there's a beautiful parable in scripture that talks about the businessman that gave one person five talents, another person two talents, and another person one talent. And it says an interesting line there. It said, each according to their ability. Now, often when you get to a senior level of leadership, your ability and your performance is incredibly high. Your capabilities is incredibly high. And the danger is that we measure our leadership capabilities and have an expectation that everybody else needs to do it at the same level of capacity. And that's a huge danger that can lead to burnout, because then we start to compete and compare. That if the person with five talents, their capability is different to the person of two talents, is the expectation that both need to perform and produce 10 talents. So I think understanding different capacity and then growing capabilities in a work environment is a healthy way to manage the right kind of expectations, that we're not just having a blanket, this is what the standard of expectation is for all different capabilities. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. In fact, then it does call for a leader, truly, according to what you're explaining, to really pay attention, very close attention, because you're not going to be able to tell that there's five talents here, there's three talents here. You've got to pay attention and really know your stuff before you can actually be able to, you know, carry out what you just suggested.
Now, I mean, in that parable, it said that the businessman gave, he gave according to their capabilities. So there is that intimate knowledge there, 100%.
Now, in what ways does investing in mental health strengthen an organization's overall resilience and long-term success?
I think it's important for longevity. You know, if we want to go far, then we need to go healthy. If I want to go fast, then there's a good chance burnout, having to restart, having to reinvest is going to be an issue. So I would rather aim for longevity and consistency than have to constantly be managing people's burnout levels, having to constantly be maybe re-employing people. What is more important, you know, and from a kingdom perspective, is emotional, spiritual, and physical health and longevity of calling and productivity more important? Or is it just about a product? Are people a means to an end in terms of productivity? And I think if you've got the right mindset to spirit, soul, and body, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. How do I do that in a healthy way? I think then you're going to safeguard longevity of productivity.
I and which is quite true, actually. Now, I happen to notice that, you know, in this day work from home environment, you know, I think burnout may be very easy because, you know, there's no necessarily a start time, a finish time. You see people working way beyond, you know, working hours as they would if they would be in the office. Because in the office, you know that I got to drive off my house and I'm going to be there by 8 o'clock and 5 o'clock I need to leave because I need to then get home and prepare for the kids. But if you're working from home, the laptop is on and you just continuously working, you wake up at around 6 o'clock, already open the laptop. And you are at it and taking breaks in between, going to take a shower there and then coming back, quickly rushing to drop the kids, coming back by 8 o'clock in the evening, you're still working in the burnout. Could be a real thing. And of course, which will then cause mental health situations. How do we navigate around that scenario?
I think, first of all, if your value and self-worth is attached to what you do, then you'll be forever running on the hamster wheel of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to earn my value. I'm trying to earn my worth.
Mm.
And if I stop, it's going to be the classic space for the enemy to speak a lie of you're not doing enough. So we're not called to what I call build towers. We're called to be the temple. And, you know, when you look at Genesis 11, it says, let us build a tower to make a name for ourselves. If what you do is about your name, you will burn out, because we're not meant to be building a name. We're meant to be bearing a name. So how do I do what I do in a healthy way that's not about me? God was about rest, not about pace. You know, he had rhythms. He had healthy rhythms.
Mm.
And the minute your life is driven by striving instead of abiding, then you will live a life, even if you're working from home, with nonstop boundaries. And I think it's understanding the drive to why do I do what I do.
I think that question is actually a very important question. Why do I do what I do? Now, what do you see as the biggest remaining challenge for leaders in addressing mental health in the workspaces in this day and age?
I think so many leaders are high capacity, high performance type A personalities. Their biggest danger is what I call functional depression. And I've actually counseled pastors who are preparing sermons on Thursday, but flirting with suicide on Friday because they're not managing their emotional health. Because they are such high capacity, they give out more than they invest in themselves, at the detriment of longevity. And I think if leaders can have stronger accountability structures around productivity and performance, and asking, you know, having people in your world that can ask the right questions. Why is your calendar this full? Why is your task list this long? What is driving it? Is it clarity of calling or fear of failure? So if I know my why is rooted in kingdom versus the patterns of this world, then longevity is sustained. But if I'm driving out of fear, insecurities, a performance narrative, then I will be a slave to success and the constant strive for more.
Man, that's quite profound, actually. Now, before I leave you, Mads, what would be your last words to those who are listening to us?
You know, I think life is always better together. We were not created for individualism. We were created for community. God has created us a relational. And scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so my encouragement is to find iron sharpeners, people that can speak into your blind spot, you know, people that can speak into spaces that you may not see that others will. Are you open to feedback? Are you open to empowering? Are you open to sharpening? Because if we invest in those spaces, the chances are, you know, scripture says the more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. And that doesn't mean just counseling. I think that just means wisdom. The more wisdom you invest in your life, the better your chances of sustaining longevity and not crashing. So I think don't aim to go far, rather aim to go together.
Wow. That's a beautiful one, and that's a great end, the place to end it at. Thank you so, so much for your time, Mads. Blessings to you until we speak in the future again.
You're most welcome. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.